Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socalo Village Studio. It's Friday, May 22nd, 2020. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. And Bill's taking a well-deserved break, making the long Memorial Day weekend just a little bit longer. He'll be back on Tuesday, but we have plenty to keep you busy this afternoon. The Buckmaster Show is heard every weekday from noon to 1 p.m. And on Fridays, Bill gives a round of applause to the Buckmaster Show media partners. That includes the Tucson Sentinel, .com, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Weekly. You'll find all of those and more on his website, buckmastershow.com. In today's Friday Focus interview, we are talking to Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy. Let's go. Lots going down and down there just south of Tucson. And if you want to join the discussion, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Joining me is Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Welcome, Dylan.
Hey there, how are you?
Good. You getting out much?
You know, I am not. very purposefully, stayed at home as much as possible, staying hunkered down. Not out of any specific fear. I just have not had any desire to, potentially be a vector in this situation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I hear you.
I've just been sitting at my desk working away feverishly for the last couple of months and trying not to get a fever.
Yeah. We've saved a lot on mileage at the newspaper. A lot of reporters are getting, they're doing a lot of things by phone and working from home a little bit. So things have changed, but I'm looking forward to getting back to whatever normal is going to be. So. We also welcome Mayor Murphy. Boy, it has been a crazy couple of months or what, Tom?
Absolutely, and thanks for having me. I just want to know, what are we doing wrong? The three of us are working and Bill's on vacation. Something. I want a story about that.
Bill is very good about taking his vacations and making sure everything is in order before he leaves, and then he actually goes and relaxes. He's good at that. I've never been very good at that. So Dylan and I are going to talk.
I appreciate it because it gives me a chance to be on with you. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Like, we don't see each other enough down there, but. Dylan and I are going to talk a little bit about just kind of the craziness of trying to cover news during a pandemic, but later on during our roundtable. But heading up a local government at a time like this has no doubt tossed a few challenges your way.
No, it sure has. It certainly isn't anything that, we expected. We wrapped up in September celebrating our 25th year of incorporation. Economy was humming along, we were expanding in the housing and the retail sector, and then all of a sudden, boom. So it's brings me back a little bit to my, 21 years in the Air Force. You train, you hope you never see, the balloon go up, as we used to say, but when it does, you're prepared. So I think we've, been weathering the storm pretty well down here, as opposed to some of the other communities in the state of Arizona, based on what you're tied to, whether it be tourism, resort industry. And, we're doing pretty well. We're really tied in a lot, as with base, Border Patrol, Raytheon. And for the most part, all of those folks, they might be working from home and differently, but they've all still been, for the most part, they're getting paychecks. So I think that's held us well. When we had the sequestration and the shutting down of the federal government, I felt really almost more of a local impact because of that tying into the federal funding, where this one, we're probably not as tied in as, obviously it's affecting everybody, but I think we'll weather the storm better than some.
Well, I know you're quite tied into the community. What are you hearing just from the everyday people out there as far as how they're doing in relation to how Sahuarita is handling all of this?
Yeah, no, I always, when I have the chance, I always, thank them and, try to show my gratitude because they have been doing the things that have been recommended, the social distancing, abiding by the CDC guidelines. And I've always promoted that is going to be the way that we're going to, have to operate for the most part going forward, until we find a vaccine. I don't believe we can shut down the economy or the government. You know, I'm hearing alarming statistics, you know, across the country with depression, anxiety, potential opioid addiction rates, suicide rates. You know, I think really canceling all of those elective surgeries and things scared a lot of people away. I hear mammogram tests across the country are down over 80%, colorectal over 90%. You know, so we could have hundreds of thousands of missed cancer diagnoses potentially because people didn't keep up with overall health. And certainly COVID is an important part of health, but to me, so isn't mental health and livelihoods have a big impact.
Definitely. Well, you know, Governor Doug Ducey has laid out some reopening guidelines, and we've seen a lot of movement in Sahuarita. Just the other day, we are in the same plaza as Ross Dress for Less, and they opened up on Wednesday. Had to be 100 people in line there, and eager to get back into that store. Overall, do you think that the towns and cities have received clear direction from the state throughout all of this?
Well, I do. And, you know, in my proclamation, as you know, I tried to mirror the governor's proclamation and executive orders just to be able to have some kind of clarity and consistency for people to follow. But I have appreciated you've been given some flexibility. And as, you know, we move forward and how we do it, because town, county, how one we've been affected can be a little different, and how we're just set up, we're different. So I think we've been able to manage it, but I think holding that consistency, I think, has held us in good stead.
Well, Pima County is kind of an interesting situation. According to the governor's executive order, no city, town, or county can add anything to what the state has done. But Pima County has done just that, adding extra regulations for the reopening of restaurants. That, frankly, did not go over real well in Sahuarita and Marana.
No, it didn't. And, you know, again, trying to hold to that consistency because, you know, as ARS 26307 stated, you can't add anything. And when the county, you know, sent the letter, which credit to them for giving the governor a heads up, they talked about, you know, we'll be approving additional measures to govern the reopening. And I just saw that as conflict. And I know as we spoke a couple weeks ago, when they talked about, I think the surveying of the residents was a great idea. As you know, they got about 10,000 responses back. So I think reaching out to the restaurant community, to the residents, to see what you could advise the restaurant community to do, you know, that probably wasn't a bad thing. But as you know, they're on their, I think, fourth iterations of it. So it probably, you know, I think it came out too strong too early. And now with the Attorney General weighing in, I would have agreed with Supervisor Christie, who said, you know, let's wait for the Attorney General to weigh in, because all this work might be for naught, depending on what he weighs in. So, again, I think all of those steps they were taking, you know, were good in an advisement capacity. I guess the other thing that really gave me pause was I just felt like some of those industries, especially the restaurant, were singled out. As you pointed out, the 100 people in line for the opening, you know, we've mentioned, you and I before, you know, going into a Safeway or a Fry's, you know, they're doing the best they can. I think every business is doing the best they can. And I think more so than anybody, the restaurants would have on their own done the best they could. So I would have just gone with what the governor put out, see how it went. And then if there became a problem, you know, then I think we could weigh in on it. But that was just me.
So you're right that the county on May 13th passed a proclamation. Yesterday they had their fourth version of that, and it was approved. And there are 15 guidelines, I guess 13 end up in health code and two are just recommendations. And these are all regarding restaurants, and they do go beyond what the governor called for? And obviously everyone wants to emphasize safety here, but is the county just going too far, or do you just think they're going they're just jumping the gun a little bit?
Well, I would say it was probably jumping the gun a little bit. And again, nobody is probably more regulated than restaurants are to start with. You know, they have to earn their customers back every single day. So I think, again, doing the surveying, finding out what would make the customers comfortable, you know, was a good idea. And then I would have, you know, passed it on, worked with them. I just believe, you know, you educate, you encourage, support. Regulate would be last on my list. And I know they've come off of a lot. You know, there was civil penalties in the beginning. So I just think this last week and a half, we could have worked closely together and supported the restaurants. And again, I think it sent a signal that there was something inherently wrong with the way they are operating already, as opposed to any other industry. And it probably caused more angst by customers coming back than needed to happen, as opposed to other industries such as the shopping store.
Isn't it the case that the county's only authority to regulate lies within the health code, and specifically around restaurants? And they also put some regulations on pools and other things that they, you know, directly license. They don't really have broad health authority to tell retail businesses what to do.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And, you know, I've told Dan, you know, from the beginning of this, I've always would have felt safer based on what restaurants were already doing, as opposed to when I go out, you know, shopping. Though everybody is, you know, doing the best and they're trying the best, I see a lot of employees wearing masks more than I had seen in the beginning. But they're already regulated, and I just, you know, coming out and not even giving them a chance to comply with what not only the governor put out, but was already in the health regulations, I just think no one was going to work harder on their own to have the cleanest, safest environment than the restaurant industry. I mean, they've been really pounded, and I just think it sent a signal that maybe they weren't safe, and we had to do all these things. And I believe
I know there are a lot of restaurateurs who are working very hard, and quite a number of them, hundreds of them actually, have said they are not opening up for dine-in service yet because they don't think that's safe. But we're still getting plenty of reports from especially from bars that have opened up, you know, with a food truck, or they're just handing out potato chips to say that they serve food and can be open, where they're having people crowd in shoulder to shoulder. And is that responsible?
Right. Well, I personally haven't seen that. I think if they're not abiding by the CDC guidelines and the governor guidelines, I think it falls into a different category. But, you know, I think that could have been addressed probably where it already came out from the executive order and the governor's guidelines. I just believe inherently people want to do the right thing and will try to do the right thing. And I think you can address those when it doesn't happen. But I don't think, you know, you want to overregulate for the 1-3% that might not be abiding and put that onus on the other 97-98% that are doing it correctly.
Okay, Sawarita Mayor Tom Murphy is with us. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com is also on the line. We're going to go into a quick break here. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and a whole lot more. Mayor, now, I don't know if you have ever been up to Mona's, but I have, and it's wonderful. And I'm wondering what kind of strings you can pull to get them to open up in Sarita.
I will do my best, and I haven't been there. And I will take that as an open invitation in the future for you to take me there.
It's absolutely, it's worth a drive. It's way too far from us, but it is worth the drive. I can see it on Sarita Road between Panda Express and Arby's, and they would be wonderful. Right now, Mona's is open for limited in-bakery and patio dining, along with takeout and delivery. Go to monasdanishbakery.com or buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, and we are broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village studio. We are with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy, and Dylan Smith is on the line from TucsonSentinel.com. Mayor, I want to wind up the previous conversation here and with one question. Does the town of Sahuarita have any responsibility in enforcing the extra regulations that Pima County has put on restaurants?
No, I think originally when it came out, they were talking about civil fines, which would have been enforced by the sheriff, and we're a subdivision of the state. So, that's where I said this wouldn't apply to us. If it ends up, codified in the health code, that would fall under the county's jurisdiction. I would hope they would give us some deference or notice. They're now up to the third violation. You'll end up going on a website as opposed to being fined. So, I'm happy they backed off on and clarified some of these, you know, things. Because I think, honestly, the intent on some of it was not as it was probably written. You know, it was difficult for me as from a restaurant's perspective. If it's written down, that's what it says. So I'm glad they at least were able to back off and clarify some of those.
Yeah, quick one for Dylan here. Dylan, I'm not seeing much incentive for restaurants to follow these regulations.
Incentive, you mean as far as there being a stick, a carrot to do it?
Yeah.
Well, I think I would, in a large part, I think the mayor is correct in saying that the ability of restaurants and other businesses to attract customers will be if people are perceiving them as responsible and safe. And, a whole lot of these technical things that go on behind the scenes are, you know, the kind of things that you don't see in a restaurant anyway. But in general, if people see, you know, staff constantly cleaning and tables spaced apart, or if somebody's still just doing, delivery and takeout, I think that sort of perception will go a long way into, you know, attracting customers. And if you see a place that's letting people, crowd in, and a retail establishment that isn't asking people to wear masks, and if their staff aren't wearing masks, that's going to definitely make people think twice, or make a lot of people think twice. There are others who are, you know, trying to make a big public show of bravery and, not wear masks and get real close to people, which I think is a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, people will vote with their feet. Go ahead.
If I could just give an example, I know this will shock you, Dan, but I did have to get a haircut the other day, mm-hmm. a couple of days ago, and I had curls in the back, not on the top, as you know, and I went to Great Clips, in Sowarita,
sure.
And the young lady, I checked in online, the young lady was sitting outside, checking me in, we all stayed 6 feet apart, she opened the door, they disinfected in front of me, they disinfected behind me, they disinfected the cash register, even though I didn't touch it. I would have no qualms, to go back, because I think every business owner, wants to earn those customers. And I just think the restaurants, no more so than any other, would want to do the same thing. And, people vote with their feet and their pocketbook.
Home construction.
Can I follow up on what question you asked there, Jim?
Dylan Sorry, Smith, go ahead.
Troublesome doing this by phone.
Like yes.
What responsibility does your town have to enforce the governor's order? And what are you tackling as far as, what your police and other, government employees are doing to try and make sure that people are following these?
Yep, and we've been more visible. Certainly, the police have. They've been walking the lake and visiting parks and just being more visible. But we purposely decided to take a soft touch, with our police department, and again, using it more in the educating, encouraging, assisting, and for the most part, people comply. When asked and when talked, spoken to, and the importance of it. I just think people, typically will want to do the right thing. Obviously not 100% of, people if it becomes confrontational, but, I'm just not aware of any of those situations, at least in our town.
Mayor, two quick things before we say goodbye to you. Home construction, I thought, would be hit a little harder than it was. I know it has been hit, but I've talked to Rancho Sahuarita and others, and it's actually relatively strong in the town. And then what about April sales tax receipts? We haven't seen those yet, but I'm sure that's going to be down. So home construction first.
Yeah, no, home construction, we had 43 new home starts last month. I think it was high 30s the month before. So having the raw land available, having a beautiful community, supportive sure. community, I think goes a long way. And I also think tying back again to a lot of the federal, state jobs, that have weathered this. I think we're still the sunshine's going to bring people here. We have a combination of, like in Quail Creek, retired community. I think people will still want to come here for retirement, and we have a lot of those jobs. So I think, that'll hold true. I am hearing and seeing in the news a lot of national home builders are, putting away some cash. I think they were burned a little bit in 08 time frame. So I think it's going to be they're going to be a little careful. But people are still going to want to move here, and you're going to still need houses. And I think we're always trying to make this town the town of choice.
Sales tax receipts, though, they're bound to be down. How has Sowetita braced for this?
Yeah, no. We're going to be starting budgeting talks next month. Hiring is frozen except for a police department. We've always taken a conservative nature on that. We think it's going to be a little hit. The difficulty is the sales tax is usually 2 months in the rear. State income tax, which is almost half of our state shared budget, is 2 years in lagging. That's why it's always challenging when you're a fast growing community and you're trying to provide the services and your numbers lag by a couple of years. So that portion we won't see for a couple of years. We took a hit on that. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think we're going to end up pretty well. Obviously, we're going to watch for April's numbers and see how we continue to come out of it. But revenues were really strong up into, during pre-COVID. So we think that's going to hold us well.
Okay. Well, we want to thank our guest, Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sowetita, down where I live. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Mayor.
You as well. And greetings to all from sunny Sowetita.
Great. And have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You
take
as well.
Care.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. We will be right back.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sowetita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sowetita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and we are in the Green Things Socalo Village studio. This is Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News, Sawarita Sun. It's time for our Friday roundtable where we kick around some of the issues of the moment. I'm with Dylan Smith. He's editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, you a little sick of covering this COVID story yet? I mean, don't we have an election to get to? You there, Dylan?
No, I am.
There we go. You're a little tired of covering the story? I mean, boy, it's been 2 months.
Tired?
No, you know, you've just been sitting at home. Why would you be tired?
Well, you know, certainly, you know, variety is kind of what keeps us going as reporters, right?
Yeah.
Trying to learn new things.
Yeah.
If there's a new twist to this, certainly new information to try and analyze every day and, you know, especially paint a solid, reliable picture for folks and not just try and, you know, freak them out with the latest splashy headline either way.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was talking to three care homes in our area, and our story will run on Sunday, and they've had deaths, and one of them has had 8 deaths in the last month. And if you scratch the surface of this story, that is a great headline, by the way. It would sell papers, but they're all in hospice. They're all in the highest care facilities that you can have, meaning they were extraordinarily frail. And not to put too fine a point on it, but these people were on their way out anyway. And it's not that they're not important. It's not that this virus didn't have a role in it, because very likely it did. But the sense that we've got to kind of keep the deaths in context here, and that is that it is.
You are talking about a specific headline.
Well, you know, there are.
I'll go ahead and say it. There was a story in the Arizona Republic about a nursing home down in Sorita that had a pretty provocative, shocking headline.
Well, and it was
the way it was phrased, even beyond the context of the fact that these folks were in hospice care, the way it was phrased could be read a couple of different ways, talking about, what was it, 7 in 10 in this facility died?
Correct.
7 of 10?
Yeah.
But there were actually 10 people there, not 70% of the residents in a nursing home.
Well, there actually are 100 residents in that home.
But in that pod,
basically.
That was the reference. And there were a couple of ways to read that headline. And the first time I read it, without seeing the remainder of the story or anything, it was incredibly shocking to run across.
Well, and you know, we reported when they had 4 deaths, and we did not splash it out there. We certainly reported it because it's news and it should be, but all 4 of the first people who died were in extremely frail condition and were on hospice already. And like I said, we're going to die very quickly anyway. And the virus now is the boogeyman in all of this. It shortened their lives. You know what? Probably by a day or two. And the other 3 then who died since were in the same condition. There was one person who was kind of bouncing back and was doing well. So we'll outline this in our story on Sunday. And again, this is not to minimize death or the virus itself, which is, you know, very dangerous. We have to be very safe. And I think that a lot of the safeguards that have been in place with the mask and the social distancing have certainly helped a lot, without a doubt. But these are very vulnerable populations. We just have to, as you originally said, keep all of this in context for our readers and not go after that splashy headline. It's very irresponsible to do that.
It also points out that we need to especially be taking care of those folks.
Absolutely.
And it also points to the fact that we don't have good information about where these outbreaks are in nursing homes. That the state refuses
to make that information public, even though there's no reason for them legally to do so. They just say, oh, it'll hurt the owners of those nursing homes. And I don't think that should be our primary concern right now. If you are looking to put grandma in a home because she needs that kind of assistance and you can't give it to her, you should be able to, you know where these outbreaks are and not just go flying blindly.
Well, I'll tell you,
Governor Ducey and the health department, they've been sued over this and they still refuse to do anything about it.
Well, and I called Three Homes yesterday and they spoke quite freely to me. All the stuff that the state is hiding. Now we should in the states. Just to be fair here, they have said that if you are in one of those homes or you're putting somebody in one or, you know, you have some sort of connection there, you can get the information that we as journalists want. There is a danger, and there's a danger of putting that information in the wrong hands, but a responsible journalist is going to, again, put this in context and not have those splashy headlines that sell papers, but don't tell you the whole story. And so we just want to make sure that everybody has all the information so that they can decide how they should react to this.
And certainly, you know, the people who are becoming severely ill, sometimes with complications that will probably be lifelong, even beyond those who are dying, they are not all old or frail.
Sure.
Plenty of people who would seem to be otherwise perfectly healthy, who don't have some severe pre-existing condition, are getting horrendously sick and sometimes dying from this. And, you know, it's a serious issue for all of us, and, you know, not something that we need to be petrified of. I don't think, you know, if you wear a mask and wash your hands and go to the grocery store, you will probably be okay. But, you know, we need to be very responsible and cautious. Nothing has changed in the last 2 months as far as how we can actually treat this disease. There's no vaccine. There are no good treatments out there. And there are, in fact, more people now who are carrying this virus than there were when we tried to flatten the curve, which we've sort of done. It's more of a plateau than trending down at this point.
Well, I'll say that when... at the last big event in Green Valley before everything shut down, I was talking to Mayor Murphy, who we just had as a guest, and he is a community liaison for United Community Health Clinics, and he told me, you know what, we should be treating this as if the same way we would be acting as if we the flu were here. Not that it is the flu. We understand the differences, but you know what? If you're vulnerable, don't go out or wear a mask or just wash your hands, be careful, use sanitizer, all this stuff that we should be doing anyway when there is something going around the community. We have a huge number of deaths due to flu in this state every year. And why isn't that reported? Because we're used to it. Year after year after year, but we should just take certain precautions. And I think one of the good things that can come out of this is that now we're going to understand a little bit more the importance of being careful when we have something like this on our doorstep. So I want to move on to politics here, and I want to unfortunately mix politics and COVID a little bit. What do you make of this back and forth between Pima County and the state? And just to clarify, three state legislators felt that Pima County was overstepping by adding extra conditions to the restaurant's reopening. And they asked State Attorney General Mark Brnovich to investigate. And he sent a letter to the county saying, explain yourself. That letter is due back to Brnovich's office at 2 p.m. today. What do you make of this, Dylan?
Well, you know, these legislators who have, you know, over the years proven themselves to not be great friends of the Pima County administration, let's just say. trio of Republicans in Oro Valley who don't much like the Democrats who, you know, are running the Board of Supervisors, are, you know, filed a complaint. There's a state law that lets anybody in the legislature question the move of a local government, and then the Attorney General is required to go investigate. The county's stance is that they are implementing the governor's executive orders, that they are not stepping beyond them, that they are taking the things that the governor said to do and adding the ability in their own words to have their health inspectors go out and
tell these restaurants, especially, and people who operate pools, et cetera, to follow these rules.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Brnovich has very rarely upheld these complaints by legislators. You know, there's a long record of not just them looking into Pima County and Tucson, but all over the state. And most of them end up being determined that the local jurisdiction had the ability to go ahead and do what they're trying to do.
Yes, and if people are interested in this, it's all on the state attorney general's website. This letter that the county is sending in, that's going to be there. The complaint, the original letters, the minutes from meetings, things like that. So you can just kind of watch this whole thing play out if you are so inclined. The price, however, if Pima County is found to be out of step, is very high, because it would cost them state shared revenues if they don't within 30 days correct themselves. So there is something at stake here, and we'll see how this plays out.
There's a big stick that the state has to wave around in that
right.
respect.
And you know what? I guess it really comes down to where everybody draws the line when it comes to what's safe. And the county did point out that it felt the state lacked some direction, and that they were hearing from business owners and restaurant owners that said, look, we need more firm guidelines. But I will say that the county's first pass at this past May 13th was just a little, you know, I'm going to call it silly, because some of the measures on there, like, you know, requiring reservations, you know, I don't know last time you called for a reservation at McDonald's, but it's probably just not going to work. And then there were a couple of other things which now have been ditched and should have been, because they were just really onerous. But,
you know, all those regulations were drawn up by a committee that was composed almost entirely of restaurant owners.
Yeah, but I think
there were 40-some people on the committee that wrote all this stuff.
Yeah, but then we heard from the next three meetings, revisions of this, that there were an awful lot of restaurant owners who felt blindsided and were surprised by what was in there, and they kept pushing for more and more changes to it, and they got several, and so now we have what we have. But then we land on to Mayor Murphy, who says, "Yeah, pretty much they're going to take a soft touch to dealing with this." And really, it comes down to the county health inspectors as to how this is going to play out, or if there are going to be any.
What we've seen from, you know, before these regulations, there were plenty of other, you know, things in effect, not just with restaurants, but with all businesses and everybody. And we did a report a couple weeks ago just asking, you know, what the counties and you know, various police departments were doing to enforce these things. And we could not find a single citation written by any Southern Arizona law enforcement agency to enforce these things. So everybody's been taking a very soft educational touch in this, even with some of the what you might call more egregious violations we've seen. They just you know, ask people to stop doing whatever they're doing, except that there was one restaurant that had their liquor license suspended by the state because of what they were doing. But as far as local governments, we've seen a whole lot of leniency.
Well, I think they're bowing to education rather than taking out the stick, and we'll see if the stick eventually comes out. We have a couple of minutes here, and I want to get into the Martha McSally, Mark Kelly race for U.S. Senate. It's a really tight race, although if you believe the polls, she is falling farther behind. Mark Kelly, of course, is a former astronaut and husband of former Representative Gabby Giffords. When it comes to Martha McSally, what do you think her chances are? And should she debate her primary opponent, that is Daniel McCarthy?
Well, there are two ways to answer that debate question, right? One is from the point of view, actually three ways. One is from the point of view of a Republican primary voter who might be undecided and want to know more and want to see them go head to head. Then there's the point of view of a reporter who always enjoys a good debate, right?
Yeah. Well, hey, we're all for that.
But if you're Martha McSally's campaign strategist, no way.
There you go.
No way. That's not going to happen.
Strategy.
It's Martha McSally's campaign strategist that gets the say here, right?
Exactly. And
or Martha herself, is certainly going to weigh in, but she's going to take the advice of the people who are going to tell her, you don't give your not very well known, completely underfunded opponent a soapbox to stand on.
Right. And I did the math the other day. He has raised in the last reporting period 1.2% of what she has raised. But this is an extraordinarily expensive raise.
Almost all from his own pocket, right?
Right, exactly. So at what point do you decide whether this is a serious candidate or not? Well, we see the Democrats in the presidential primary had to kind of go through this whole rigmarole, and some people weren't allowed on the stage and others were, and it had to do with polling and money and all this type of stuff. So, there are, at sometimes you do make those determinations. There are some people who would like to see her maybe get a little practice before she hopefully debates with Mark Kelly in the next few months here, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen with Daniel McCarthy, at least from what she's telling media. She has no interest.
It certainly does not seem like it's going to happen. Speaking as a reporter, trying to get people to be challenged on what their stances are is, I think, always a good thing. You want to see candidates have to explain themselves, and quite often that's done more effectively by someone who is also vying for the same post.
Very good.
Especially in a general election, I think, it's not a responsible move by candidates to dodge debates. They should be going head-to-head, really discussing the issues, and answer tough questions.
Okay, that is going to be it for our Friday Roundtable for this week. My thanks to Dylan Smith. You can find him over at TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
When we return, we're going to give you a little help planning your long Memorial Day weekend.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socalo Village Studio. It's now time for Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next couple of days. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. It's beautiful out there. You can't miss in New Mexico. There's historic downtown Silver City, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument in Grant County. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. And we have Matt Russell on the line. Matt, happy National Barbecue Month, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal for barbecue enthusiasts. I've been celebrating the Q craft all month long.
We're very worthwhile, and people are starting to think in that direction again.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what, Dan, every year for the last, 20 years or so, the Hacienda Del Sol has hosted an event called Zen Blues and Barbecue, and unfortunately this year's version has been canceled, but they're planning sort of to give us the same experience in a curbside format this weekend. A bundle of your favorite event dishes over the years, from chicken to ribs to lamb and more, are going to be prepared for you to go, including, of course, a bottle of Zinfandel and maybe even a Blues CD. But here's the catch. You have to order by 4 o'clock today, so it's ready in time for you to pick it up on Sunday. The number, 529-3500, for Zen Blues and Barbecue to go.
Sounds absolutely worth it, and a great way to complete your Memorial Day weekend. What else we got going on?
Well, you know, you really can't talk about National Barbecue Month without a nod to the pride of Texas. And, of course, that is beef brisket. And one of the local barbecue joints that specializes in these beauties is called Holy Smokin' Butt. Can't make this stuff up. They're on Broadway and Cole. I'm pleased to announce, Dan, that they're officially open again. I was in Austin not too long ago, where brisket is king, of course, and I'd say that Holy Smokin' Butt's version is pretty darn close to the Lone Star State. When you order brisket there, you're going to be asked if you want it lean or fatty. And I think to myself, a lean cut of brisket? Give me a break. You got to go fatty.
You know, that's like ordering the number 3 at McDonald's with a Diet Coke. Don't do it. Just go for the fat.
Exactly. So, yeah, if you order a lean brisket, I don't think you and I can be friends.
No. So that's Holy Smokin' Butts Brisket. That's B-U-T-T-S. That is not a typo, correct?
That is B-U-T-T-S. Holy Smokin' Butts right on Broadway and Cole.
Okay, Broadway and Cole. Great. And then what else we have?
Well, when you're enjoying your barbecue this weekend, I say be sure to pick up some local brews that pair nicely with smoked meats. Now, our friends at Green Feet Brewing Company have some good ones on tap, and they're going to be pleased to fill growlers and crowlers for you to go today from 4 to 8 p.m., like their Rendezvous Rye that I think is a must for barbecue. And, Dan, this brewery is owned by retired Air Force heroes, which makes their beer even more of a must as we raise a pint in remembrance of the fallen this weekend. Green Feet Brewing is open today from 4 to 8 p.m. on 44th Street near Dodge, which is just a stone's throw away from where you're sitting right now, Dan.
Oh, boy, if I only drank. But I bet they'd probably find something for me there. So I want to go back to the curbside barbecue at Hacienda Del Sol and just give us that number again and buy 4 o'clock today if you want this.
Absolutely. You must order the Zen Blues and Barbecue package by 4 o'clock today. They'll arrange for you to come and pick it up on Sunday, and that number is 529-3500. 100.
Okay, so get that done today. And what do you have going in your column this week in Inside Tucson Business?
Yeah, you know, there's a local butcher in town who's kind of keeping busy in the meat box business these days. And his newest box, which he recently renamed the Russell Box for some reason, is a celebration of barbecue custom and culture. That entire story is in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. And I have to tell you how awkward it is for me to be writing a story about a meat box that was named after yours truly. As a journalist, I sort of struggled with that one, but I said, let it ride. You know, it's about meat boxes, and everybody wins in that contest.
Yeah, I don't think you're out of line on that one. In fact, I'm sure it's going to be a great column. Matt Russell's column, Inside Tucson Business. You do not want to miss it. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Matt, and you have a terrific Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, you do the same, my friend. Thanks so much.
Very good. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at Bustos Media in Tucson, including producer-engineer John Couch and Buckmaster Show Executive Assistant Rosemary Brandt, I am Dan Scheer, wishing you a relaxing and safe Memorial Day weekend. Make it a good one.